Amen.
Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.
Herzlich willkommen.
Be welcome in the precious name of our Lord.
Ich dachte beim Singen,
I thought while singing,
die zwei Fremdsprachen mitgelernt haben,
all who know two languages, English and French, they can then sing together with us. And all the others, they know the same songs in their language. And they can also tune in. That what the choir has sung, Amazing Grace, was one of the favorite songs of Brother Branham. Everything is grace, and again grace. And then the song, Very Soon That Day Is Coming. This day is really very, very close at hand. Now just briefly, just the greetings. And then we come to the word. Greetings from Belarusia, from the Ukraine, Russia, Grodno, Moscow, Ural, Krasnodar. Greetings especially from Brother Wallström from Denmark, Brother Lotika, South Africa, Brother Daniel, Cape Town, Brother Motika, Johannesburg, Brother Mbie, Congo. Who is this? And then Brother Ngonga, and Brother Joseph, then from Brother Etienne Genton, and from our brothers and sisters from Armenia. Brother Graf is also sending greetings. Then Jürgen from South Africa is greeting, sending. Then especially Brother Mwamba from Kolwezi. There in the moment, God is doing the most tremendous. Not only 3,000 people are gathered now who are looking now on the screen, listening. All of the city is included and all can hear around 100 kilometers. They can hear what is being preached here. That's how it was laid on our brother's heart. And then that's how God let him succeed. Then greetings from the DRC, from Brother Funda, greetings from Brother Grazian, from Ashdod, Israel, all of that, all know that. Then greetings, Brother Steve, also from Bukavu, DRC, then from Brother Kirill, also sending greetings. Brother Christian from Romania is sending greetings. Brother Zumba, Aaron from Johannesburg is sending greetings. Our brother Adrian from Romania is sending greetings. Brother Vince from Hungary is sending greetings. Once again, a brother from Hungary. Brother Keses, then Brother Young from Denver, Colorado, Brother Pino Davi from Palermo, Brother Mbie from the DRC, Brother Cecil from South Africa, is greeting with Brother John from Bucharest, is also sending greetings. Greetings from Burundi. Greetings from Brother Yapi from Abidjan. Greetings from Brother Klut from Cape Town. He has a wonderful testimony. He has written it down of that what God has done. Just wonderful. I don't know whether I didn't overlook anyone. I just hope it. If somebody was left out, it didn't happen on purpose. All are expecting from me that I say something. But we are not here that I report something from myself. We are here to hear the word of the Lord. And just nevertheless, I want to say something, especially because of the wish of Brother Ziegler, the word from Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Here it's written, what actually also applies to me. Philippians chapter 1. Here we read from verse 20.
Wie ich überhaupt die feste Erwartung,
according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul left it out because God decides. Then it continues from verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I believe all of us, we can agree, Christ is our life. But what holds us still on this earth, young and old, all of us, we want to be changed and we want to be taken up. But now are coming the verses with a statement. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I know not. Paul, very sober, he spoke and he wrote. Now, verse 23. For I'm hard pressed between the two. I have the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Also for me. What could happen to me better than that the Lord would have taken me home? Or would take me home. As Paul says here, this would be of course far better for me, for him, for all of us. And then, verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Is more needful for you who have come to the faith, who you experienced the grace of God, who you have part in the ministry which God has given by His grace for you, the believers. That's how Paul says it. For you, it's far better that I, for your sakes, that I continue to live on in the body. It was necessary. Then verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Yes. This God may give. May God give it to me, to all of us who we are here gathered today, and all who are connected online, worldwide, who are listening, and perhaps are also watching. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. What shall we say to it? Also this, what Paul experienced in the body, in Galatians 4 he said, for instance, my bodily condition caused offense with you, in you, but God has still given grace. Now really so much now. Everything is well now. God has given grace. I was discharged from hospital with a good statement, and everything is well. To Him, the faithful Lord, be the glory. And as I said already in Zurich last Sunday, I lost 10 kilograms and I got 10 years older, but by the grace of God, the life continues as long as the Lord wants it. And as Paul expressed here, that I live on in the flesh is for your sakes necessary. So, let us trust the Lord. He will make all things well, as until now. Now, brothers and sisters, now a little remark here, especially for our translators. We indeed have great difficulties with the Bible translations in the various languages, because words are translated differently. And our brothers, when our brothers translate from the German into their language, then sometimes they are coming into trouble because just other words are used in the languages. Just three examples now. Namely, for the translators and for all who are listening now worldwide. From Matthew 24, verse 3, where it says, and what is the sign of thy return? Here in the German translation it says, the word return, and this is written in no other translation. In no other translation is written the word return, only in the German text. Then, up to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Where is the promise of his return? This word return is 14 times written in the German Bible. No other time in another translation. And therefore, our translators, they have problems. There is written the word coming, but there are various comings, but there's only one single return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And every time when it's pointed to that one return, not to one coming, but when it's pointed to the return of the Lord, when it's referred to it, then in our language, this word belongs there, and it was also used in our German Bibles. Now, in the sermon of Brother Branham, the spoken word from the 18th of March 1962, he said, there are three comings of Christ. He came to redeem his bride. In the rapture, he comes to take his bride into glory. For the millennium, he comes again together with his bride. So, three comings in connection with a plan of salvation of our God. He came to redeem us. He comes to take the redeemed home, and he comes again for the establishing of the millennium. But now, the following. And I don't say this to hurt somebody, but today I have two Bibles here. Two. The English Bible, King James, which was edited by Scofield, which Brother Branham was reading. And I have the German Bible here. From Luther, also from Scofield, and here different texts are written. I give you the three scriptures, namely Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. That's how it is written in the English. In the German, of whom every fatherhood, from this word family, the Trinity people, they established their dogma that in heaven there's not one or two or three, but that there's a family. And this scripture, they used for it. It's written in the English translation, but it's not written in the German edition. He's not written family, he's written fatherhood. Every fatherhood. And God has become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, when our brothers have trouble with a translation, or when the listeners have trouble, brothers and sisters, I read it to you from the internet. I read it to you from the internet. Martin Luther had the Vulgata, the Latin Bible, the Catholic translation. He has thrown it away. He didn't use it. He went back to the Hebrew. And he was translating from the original text. Let us read it. You can take it out from the internet. With the Reformation of Martin Luther in the 16th century and of the Bible translation then, which is no translation of the Vulgata, but which goes back to the original texts. But then started the going down of the Vulgata. The Protestant movement rejected the Vulgata because of their many mistakes. What shall one say to it? I just say the following. Everyone can read in his Bible and can get saved. But if it is about precision, if it's really about precision, and there we are already at the first John, chapter 5, verse 7. First John, here in the English Bible, there are three in heaven that bear record in heaven. The Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It was written in Brother Brennan's Bible, but in this Bible, this verse is not written at all, and in the original also not. And in this Bible, it's written that this verse is not there in the original at all, but it was added later on. Brothers and sisters, I just mention these things because of the translators and because of those who are listening to the translation. We really have to go back to the origin. Now the third scripture, Revelation 10. In the English Bible it says, and time shall be no more. Here it's written, and there will be no delay anymore. But then it starts. Then there is no delay. Then the things are happening spot on spot. Time will be 1,000 years still, up to the end of the millennium. Time will continue. But only then the time will merge into eternity. So, there are really important places. For me, they are important, which have to be taken note of, and which have to be in harmony with other scriptures. I hope that all have understood everything the right way. And I just hope also that all in all languages are understanding if here in our language the word is being preached and then it's translated into the other languages. May God give grace that all understand everything the right way. Now, brothers and sisters, we have heard the song of the choir of the great day, of the day which the Lord Himself made. The day of salvation will have its crowning, and the return of the Lord will be the crowning. And we, by grace, we may be part of it. Really, we may be part of it when the Lord calls His own. Remember the word of the first weekend, which we looked at, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. Then here, in Hebrews, in chapter 10, Hebrews, chapter 10, here we have, in verse 37, Hebrews 10, verse 37, we have the following said Hebrews 10 verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When could have been written this word with such power? When could it have been said, if not now? For yet a little while, a very little while, and he that shall come will come. This word is for us who we are living now. It's written for us. This is the mighty in the Holy Scripture, that everything really up to the end, it was written down, but it just has to be found, and it must be revealed, so that we recognize what applies really for our time. For yet, yes, thus saith the Lord in his word, for yet a little while, a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Such a word is really touching our hearts. And especially when I saw all the young people, the thought came to me that may God give grace, that all are consecrating their lives to the Lord, young and old, great and little, that all of us are receiving the Lord, and as we have sung in the song, forgiveness of sins, that we received it. You can read it. Our Lord and Redeemer, as the Lamb of God, he died. 34 times he is described as Lamb. He is called the Lamb. 34 times. John said, behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. As Lamb, he died. He has shed his blood. He has given his life for us. As the high priest, he entered together with his blood into the Holy of Holies to give us, to document in heaven our redemption, because it happened on the earth, but its validation, it has it in heaven. And then we see him as mediator of the new covenant, as mediator of the new covenant. And we see him as advocate, everything in connection with the plan of salvation of our God. The Lord has a certain order after everything is running. Brothers and sisters, we mentioned these things a couple of times. Over 70 times, our Lord is called the Son of Man in the four Gospels. The Son of Man. Always Son of Man. From Romans 1 up to Jude, the last verse, not a single time Son of Man, but Son of God. Son of God in connection with the redeemed church, in connection with all sons and daughters of God. Son of Man, the prophetic part. As prophet, he was the Son of Man. Everything has its place. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of Abraham. Everything has its place in all of the plan of salvation. Now, what really touches me tonight, I already wept about it. If one reads such scriptures, yet a little while remains for us, and then he that shall come will come, who has given us the promise. Then back to Matthew 25, verse 10. Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. And I tell you very honestly, I almost didn't dare to read on. Because then the foolish virgins, they came. Not the unbelievers. The virgins who have heard the call, behold, the bridegroom cometh. But it's written later. But too late. And the Lord had to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. This just hurts so much. I just have to say, brothers and sisters, let us make all efforts to believe God, to believe the Word, to put our lives in order, to be available for Him, so that nothing damnable is still in us, and so that we are not foolish, but that we are wise. The foolish will perhaps believe this or that, what is not written in the Bible, but the true redeemed, the true virgins who will be ready, they abide in the Word, abide in the grace and in the love. Just being joined with God. God's Word is and remains our lamp unto our feet. Brother Branham, I just hope I find it. He spoke about it. How the enemy enemy took just one word with Eve, one statement, and then he put a question mark. Should God have said, you will not die, you will be wise, you will be as God, you will. And then, what happened? It was a beguiling. Because Eve listened to it. And she didn't speak about what God said. Why speaking about it? Do you know what I decided? From now on, I will not speak privately anymore. I will not answer any question anymore on the telephone, and especially if it's about private things. And there's nothing to speak about of God's, in God's Word. God's Word must be believed just as it is written. In the sermon, The Pillar of the Fire, from the 9th of May, 1953, Brother Branham said, Lord, for us it would be a sin to doubt your word. Say amen. The word of God is trustworthy, just as God. So, we believe, as the scripture says. I repeat, Lord, it would be a sin to doubt your word. Help us, Lord. Forgive our sin of unbelief, which is the actual or original sin, unbelief. First, doubting, sowing doubt in that what God said. Result, unbelief. And the next one, the transgression, the separation from God forever and ever. Then Brother Brennan says in the second quote, in the sermon, all things are possible, from the 22nd of June 1956, let me show you in the Word, when the devil came to Jesus Christ for the first time, he doubted on him. We all know, are you the Son of God? Are you? Are you the Son of God? And then Brother Brennan continues and says, there is no other sin than the doubt. Unbelief is the original, the only sin. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. What do we want from God if we don't believe what he said and how he said it? Everything else are then transgressions. Lies, stealing, adultery, everything what came then, it follows then if it is not being believed. So, Brother Branham emphasizes, the original sin was when Eve was entangled into this conversation. She received doubt in herself, and then she listened to that what the enemy said. Brothers and sisters, let us go from church to church, from denomination to denomination. All are having their preacher seminars, all are having their Bible schools, all are having their universities. And everywhere the Word is being interpreted and again interpreted. God's Word must be heard and believed in the original. Just be honest now. About which subject shall we discuss here? Tell me. I would know about which subject shall we discuss here. I have no subject, and I will not seek any subject, because there is no subject. Then in the next sermon, the Queen of the South, from the 8th of February 1958, many mighty works you could not do because of their sin, because of their unbelief. We know this is the original sin, the unbelief, the unbelief. And it's really the only sin. Matthew 13, verse 58, he could not do much things because the people didn't believe him. In Exodus 4, God spoke to Moses and he told him, I give you two signs. If they don't believe the first sign, then they will have to believe the second sign. When the greatest prophet of God was sent, and if they don't believe him, and that they don't believe that God has sent him, and that he speaks by the commission of God, then the Word will bypass the people. And exactly that's how it was concerning the commission of Moses, also with Brother Branham. Two signs will be given to you. The first sign, he took the hand of the patient, he should turn it upside down, and here the cancer, the tumor, whatever sickness the person had for whom he was to pray, this sickness appeared on the backside of his hand. And the angel of the Lord said, the patient shall not close her or his eyes, but shall have them open, because in the moment where the healing has taken place, the cancer, the tumor disappears, whatever it might be. Thousands of times it happened. And the best witnesses were Brother and Sister Gordon Lindsay. I knew them personally, both. What was it? And the angel of the Lord said, when you get the people to believe you, why did the Lord say in Matthew 16, 17, those who believe, these signs shall follow. Brothers and sisters, believe. Believing is a gift of God. Abraham believed God. He believed the promise. He saw the promise fulfilled. One more quote from the 10th of January, 1960. A similar subject, the Queen of Saba. There's only one original sin, and this is the unbelief. The scripture says, whoever does not believe will be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. Let us say it once again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he who hears the word of God in the right way, and who is aware that God is now speaking to us, that it is not Paul, not somebody, but that God speaks to us through his word. Let us make an end to this subject. It's really about to believe God, to believe the promises, to believe every word, regardless of the circumstances. Everything what God said remains forever true, and this we believe from all our hearts. In John chapter 8, in verse 24, it's still written the word, if you don't believe that I am he, then you shall die in your sins. There's no way around him. The faith in him makes you be saved. Yesterday I was reading a long article which gave me a sleepless night of one of the highest Protestant in our country, how the Roman Church was glorified. And then he writes that the Lord never has said how old somebody must be who wants to be baptized. This the Lord didn't say, the Lord didn't appoint any age, but the Lord appointed that the gospel must be preached, and the Lord said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And the Lord appointed those who received his word were baptized. This was decided. Why must the whole world be led astray in such a way? Why must they lied to? Never it yesterday it really came over me that such a man, I would like to write him. I would like to write him and showing him the word of God. He speaks of sacraments, of seven sacraments. Yes. Up to now, not one sacrament saved one man. and the church also not. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. Everything else are empty promises and are bypassing God. And then there's no beatification and canonization. All the dead know nothing. But you can imagine what goes on in me. Right now, the six world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, are now in a conversation. All want to have now the unification. We are really very close to the end. And whoever looks to the Middle East, up to the Golan Heights, whoever opens his eyes a bit, he notices that we are really very, very close to the end. And then when Peter, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, he writes, 2 Peter, chapter 1, namely, verse 16, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and return of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In the word of introduction, we have heard it. John the Baptist was an eyewitness. He who has sent me, he told me, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending, that is he. And then he could say, this I have seen. This I have seen. When the Lord God says something, then it happens. We can be sure of it. And we also, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have followed the word of God. And we recognized that before the return of Jesus Christ, a calling out, a separation, a preparation of the bride church must take place. Because, as we mentioned before, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. In 2 Peter, in chapter 3, we read from verse 4, and saying, 2 Peter chapter 3, from verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his return? Here we have the word return. Where is the promise of his return? He promised, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again, and I will take you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. And the scoffers, of course, they say, everything remains as it was forever. This is written in the next verses. In verse 9, we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This brings us back to Acts 13, verse 47. All who were ordained for eternal life, they believed. All who must be called out, they must be called before the Lord returns. Then we read here, especially, brothers and sisters, of the day of the Lord. From verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. But the prophet Malachi says, before the day of the Lord comes, I send you the prophet Elijah, who shall restore all things. And so we see the connection from the Old to the New Testament. And we see how the Lord has really given us the grace to divide the word rightly after we got it revealed by grace. Now, just quickly, a couple of thoughts from the verses 14 up to 18. From verse 14 in the 2 Peter chapter 3, we read, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So, not only that we are listening what the Lord said, when you see all these things coming to pass, but rather, beloved, that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is addressed in particular to the wise virgins, to the bride of the Lamb, who really wants to please the bridegroom. All who are part of the bride of the Lamb, they want to please the bridegroom. They don't want that there is something between them and the bridegroom. And then it says, from verse 15, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. So, there must be believers in this time who recognize the long-suffering of God and who know, he has not yet come because I had to get saved first. The Lord can only come again when the last one was saved, who is part of it. Only then he can return. And we just have to appreciate the long-suffering of our Lord. Something else is coming in 16.
Ebenso ist es ja auch, Bezug nehmend auf Paulus, ebenso ist es ja auch in
as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Here we have the admonition. In connection with the return of the Lord, with the long-suffering of God, with the admonition, beloved, look for such things, but be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Paul wrote about it. And Peter mentioned it here. And he says here, some things he wrote he wrote things which are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest unto their own destruction. Up to now, we can just say in the presence of God, not a single word we have interpreted or twisted. We have left the word and preached as it is written. And that's how we believed it also. And everything else we must leave to those who also interpret the other scriptures, making with them what they want. We don't make what we want. We are grateful to God, grateful that He really has spoken to us, that He has opened the understanding for the scripture for us. But because it's written here, some things are written which is hard to be understood. How is it with the statement of Brother Branham? Also there are some things which is really hard to be understood. I say it in the presence of God. Many things hard to be understood. But for them who are not going back to the Word, but who are going from one quote to the other, and to the next one, and to the next one, without looking into the Holy Scripture. For them, it will be difficult. One day, they will be twisted. And one day, but he who really goes back to the Word, he has no problem. He leaves everything else to God. Also the things which we cannot understand yet, everything we leave up to God. And we know he will bring it to pass. Be it the statements about the seventh seal, about Revelation 10, whatever it might be, even it's very hard to understand, the Holy Spirit leads into all truth. Into all truth. And up to now, it's being fulfilled what is written. He who is born of God, he hears the truth. It's still written that no lie is of the truth. Truth was always truth and will be forever truth, and lie was from the beginning a lie. So, let us summarize and let us glorify the grace of God, which was given to us in simplicity. We're not coming to the front with a puffed up breast, with some vocabulary. No, we are coming in simplicity. We are preaching in simplicity the precious, ever-remaining Word of God. And we show the people the way back to our Lord. Then, verse 17, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So, not taking it lightly, but just taking it to heart, what the Lord has said to us in His Word, and that we can distinguish where there's error, where there's misleading, where the people are puffed up preaching the Word. In our time, they are claiming to believe the message and to preach the message. All over, there is deception and error, misleading. Everywhere, there are interpretations. But there, where the Lord is present and where He comes to His right, there the word is put upon the lampstand. And by the Holy Spirit, it's revealed by grace. Let us summarize of what's all about. Yet a little while, then He will come who shall come. And then it's being fulfilled. Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the others knocked at the door because they came too late. What did we emphasize recently? I want that all who heard the true word of God, the everlasting word of God, and who got it revealed, and who let themselves be placed into the plan of salvation by believing and by obeying, that they all are part of it when the trumpet shall sound. And then when the voice of the archangel sounds, and when the Lord descends, and the dead in Christ will rise. Somebody asked me whether I will abide until the Lord comes. This was also the question in John 20. If I will that He remains when until I come, what is that to you? One thing I know, whether I'm here when He comes, or whether I die before that, could die, one thing I know, in the rapture we will be together, we will experience together. The rapture we will experience together. And if we take this word from Hebrews serious, for yet it is a little while, a very little while, then He shall come who will come and who promised that He will return. It would be nice if all of us would experience it together. As we are gathered now, from near and far, from all over Europe, from overseas, from Guadeloupe, from all the countries, we are coming together. And whoever cannot come here to this place can listen online. Worldwide, what is being said in the name of the Lord. It would be nice if we then together would be raptured. And I say it once again, the Lord God alone knows the day and hour. But so much I know that all who believe God now and who have no doubt what God promised, who have rejected the unbelief, who have rejected the disobedience, who are trusting and obeying God and His word, they will be part of it when the Lord returns to take His own home. So, no doubt, no unbelief, no disobedience, but trusting God. He will bring it to pass. Just be available for Him. The rest He will do. He gives repentance. No one can come to the Lord except He is called. No one can repent except the Spirit of God leads him to repentance. And as the Lord said in John 16, When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Not the preacher, the Holy Spirit must be at work, must speak to the hearts. He must make clear to the lost ones, you are separated from God, receive the salvation. This all, the Spirit of God works by His grace. Let us not forget it. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And when the scoffers say, as it was always, so it will continue, then we may read once again, the Lord is not slack with his promise. Verse 9 in chapter 3, he is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, toward me and toward you. He cannot come sooner than when the bride is prepared. May this sermon serve for the purpose that the Lord has spoken to us, that we have an inner agreement to His Word, that not a single doubt remains and comes up, that unbelief cannot take power over us, but only the faith which has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5, our faith is the victory which has overcome the world. The Lord has overcome the world, but our faith, the faith which has come into us by His Word, this faith is the victory which has overcome the world. Jesus is the victor. O Lamb of God, he's reciting a song. You have won the victory on the cross of Calvary, as the German song goes. To him, to the faithful Lord, our God, be the honor now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and we sing Just As I Am. Not my power, but thou alone. While we sing this chorus once again, feel free, whoever would like to come to the front to consecrate his life to the Lord, really to consecrate it, he may come. We will pray together. Let us sing once again. Come from on high, comes. Praise be to the living God. Brothers and sisters, each one of us shall ask himself the question, Lord, where does your word place me? Where does your word place me? Do I belong to those who have heard the call, who just believe the word of God? Every doubt we bring today to our Lord. God is trustworthy, and God's word is trustworthy. You who have come to the front, please receive it. Please accept it. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He died for all of us. What happened on the cross of Calvary is a divine reality. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. The blood of the new covenant was shed. We are redeemed. We are reconciled with God. Accept the redemption. Accept the reconciliation by His grace. And the Lord will receive you as it is written, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He still spreads out His arms today and says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest unto your souls. Then we will also pray for all who are here in this building and those who are joining us. So much trouble, so much sickness, so much situations in the families. As it is now, probably it was never before. We will trust the Lord. We will take Him at His word. And we know God is faithful. All the promises of God are yea and amen. Today He is still the same. He delivers. He forgives. He heals. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just look here, all of you, who you have come to the front. This is the day which the Lord has really made for you personally. For each one of you, receive it, accept it, and thank Him for it. Today, if you hear His voice, and His voice you heard, you have come, receive it by faith and accept it. And then it will be a gift from God for you forever. Forgiveness, grace, and salvation. And also all the other prayer requests in all the building and all over the world. Everything we bring to the Lord. And please reject every doubt. Reject any unbelief, reject any disobedience, and ask God that He gives you faith, that He gives you trust, that He gives you obedience. And then all things are possible for him who believes. We sing now the chorus, Only Believe, Only Believe. Oh. Geliebter Herr, dear Lord,
du bist unser Erlöser.
You are our Savior.
Du bist das Lamm Gottes.
You are the Lamb of God.
Du starbst
you died on the cross of Calvary.
Du hast dein Blut vergossen.
You have shed your blood.
Du hast uns völlig erlöst.
You have redeemed us fully.
Völlige Vergebung.
You have given us full forgiveness by your grace.
Nimm jeden Zweifel.
Take every doubt away. Take away every unbelief and disobedience. Take it away from us. Give trust, give confidence, give faith and obedience. Bless all who have come to the front. Save, deliver, heal. I thank you with all my heart for it. Also in the whole meeting. You are present. You are present. I thank you for it. It's your promise. And this promise we believe. You are present. And you are confirming your word. You are saving. You are healing. And you are delivering. And I thank you that you have done it with all the young people. And with all who have come to the front, with all who believed, to you, the Almighty God, we thank you with all our hearts for the blood of the Lamb, for the Word of God, and for the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. Lift up thy countenance over us and give us thy peace and thy blessing. Bless together with us all who are joining us online, in particular in Kolwezi. Bless our brother. Bless the church. Bless the city. Precious Lord, bless all our brothers, make them fruitful so that their ministries are blessed. And as we have read, may it continue like this, that you are coming to your right with all of us, and so that your will can take place by your grace. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks also for this day, for thy word, and for what you have done. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just say, all of you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise him. Glorify his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Great things the Lord has done in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise.
Praise, honor, and glory be unto our God. Thou art worthy. Let us sing.
Oh,
Halleluja. The Lord is not slack with his promise, and the last ones are being called and are prepared unto this glorious day. We always have the same request, brothers and sisters, take heed, pay attention, how you spend the time here. The best would be speak little. I was always of the opinion that if God has spoken to us through his word, then after the meeting it will not be much necessary to speak about other subjects. Except it is necessary that we just, as Mary, that we just ponder upon the word in our hearts. And then it will root in our hearts and it will bring forth fruits. Parents, pay attention to your children, so that everything is going on in peace and in an order. And also the mass accommodations. I thank you that you are so patient with all, that you are happy with everything. May God bless you. Also the earthly, the natural things must be placed in the right way. As long as we have a roof over our heads and we can still sleep, we want to thank God. In the desert with Israel, it was different. And these 2 days, this one night, most surely we can also take it as it is and thank God, thanking him for what he has done, great things in us. Let us sing praise, honor, and glory. And all the people said, Amen. If the choir leader is listening, these 2 songs shall be sang once again tomorrow. These songs were just so nice. All would like to hear them again. And all who cannot speak English, they can also deepen inside. Grace is grace. Then I have the desire, the wish, that Brother Michael and whoever plays together with him, the wish was given to me, came to me. I adore the power of love that you played tomorrow. And all of us, we will tune in. God willing, we've also time for Brother Jean-Claude to hear and sing the Maranatha song. We are, of course, amongst us. And we may redeem the time which the Lord has given to us. O Lord, Almighty God, lift up thy countenance over all of us and give us thy peace and thy blessing in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you. Each one is shaking hands with each one, wishing one another God's blessing.